This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program.
Assembly of First Nations Regional Chief Terry Teagee attended the AFN's recent Indigenous Housing Conference on Tlalit T'enneh territory in Prince George, BC. His advocacy and involvement to include UNDRIP into provincial law brings perspective to the issue of housing. We caught up with him to see what was top of mind in the realm of housing
in our community of Prince George and really the wider province of BC, and you could say across Canada, even North America. We're looking at a housing crisis, affordability, a lack of stock, you name it. Climate change then exacerbates this too. We've got floods and fires, which then displace people. These are big problems to tackle. The way you see it right now, what are some things in place now that are actually helping to remedy? What's working right now?
Well, I suppose what's working here in Prince George is the Prince George Aboriginal Housing Society, which has built new spaces for First Nations, such as the one just near Parkwood, 200 plus spaces. We need more of that type of building, which is, I think, had a lot of input from First Nations here in the urban center of Prince George, which had, I suppose, culturally appropriate and moreover, and this is the most important part, is that it's affordable. I think the affordability in urban centers is, especially in British Columbia, Vancouver, and elsewhere, Kelowna, we see many homeless people, and it's not just First Nations. You know, we make up a big portion, such as here, the homeless people here in Prince George is up to 70%, but, elsewhere too. But that being said, is that, despite the fact we make 5-6% of the population, more often than not, we are overrepresented in terms of homelessness. So I think, more spaces need to be built and more affordability. Part of the solution too is building homes back in our First Nations communities. So one of the issues there is that as we come out of the pandemic is that, the resources to build those homes is doesn't keep up with the inflation, doesn't keep up with the rising costs of being in remote communities. So many of our First Nations communities are not only dealing with the shortcomings of not having enough resources, but then you're dealing with the increased cost of inflation, increased cost of building homes. So, the other issue with homes in urban centers is public policy. In particular, the municipal government and provincial government perhaps may be at odds in terms of finding places and spaces to build affordable housing. It just hasn't kept up in terms of these changing times. And clearly, as we come out of the pandemic, it has exacerbated the issue of homelessness, and not only in Prince George, but elsewhere in British Columbia and elsewhere in North America. I mean, just look at Seattle, the tens of thousands in Los Angeles that are homeless. They're really struggling with the public policy and also the affordability housing crisis.
And you mentioned the three levels of government there, municipal, provincial, federal. It feels like to me that right now this is all top of mind for each level of government, but at the same time there's almost like a communication breakdown between the levels, and we don't necessarily see the action on the ground being unified. Do you feel this is kind of commonplace?
Well, I think, it really depends on the municipality and on how, what kind of relations they have with the provincial or federal government. The only time we see that happen is when they're at odds in terms of any public policy decision making, and that if they are at odds with each other, then we see it come out in media. But I think perhaps an alignment with the I suppose ideology of many First Nations is to implement the United Nations Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People. It is law here in British Columbia and in Canada now, and has been adopted by the City of Vancouver. So, that's one place that perhaps governing bodies, those that are elected in these elected positions can look to perhaps follow in terms of what next to do. I think You know, UNDRIP allows for recognition of sovereignty and self-determination, free, prior, informed consent. But I think, moreover, it's, you know, the recognition that perhaps housing should be, you know, a human right, just like water. You know, safe drinking water should be a human right. You know, all of these things that many are afforded, and really it isn't an issue in the general public, but there is a part of our society that are left vulnerable, and more often than not it is made up of Indigenous peoples, a high majority, and that's really a problem. So, you know, we're looking on all levels of government, now, Indigenous governance, municipal, provincial, and federal policy to perhaps allow for some of the solutions to come to the fore, so we can really resolve this issue back in our communities and perhaps in urban centers such as Prince George.
Absolutely. And within UNDRIP, you kind of mentioned sovereignty is a key part of that. And I also feel like that kind of plays hand in hand with identity with the land itself and people's belonging to the land that they're on. And I get the sense that regional districts, municipalities aren't overly welcoming and don't necessarily assert that connection to the land that the people have. For example, like here in Prince George, we've seen people shifted from, you know, encampment to encampment. There's, you know, all kinds of issues with that, conflicting bylaws, and it's not really made a priority. Do you feel like that's starting to shift, or perhaps there's some key things that could be implemented that could kind of start that sea change?
Well, I think, you know, maybe the shift is in an example of Vancouver, Musqueam, Squamish, Sabretooth, and Squamish. Really, I suppose, getting their land back in terms of some of the development that they're creating, and some of those spaces, the, you know, the thousands of spaces that they'll be creating, that they'll be they started developing in Squamish and Sanok and also the Jericho lands. So those are thousands of spaces that will be coming online that are needed, not only in Vancouver, but by our First Nations communities, that will see a portion of that to be affordable. So that will allow our First Nations people to live there. So I think it's, you know, I think it's changing in that case, and we need more of that. There is another process that we've seen in the last several decades called the specific claims process. It's reserved lands that were taken away without any compensation to First Nations communities. We've seen in the last few weeks a settlement in Williams Lake. It was a monetary settlement, and perhaps you know, some chiefs and some leaders are saying perhaps maybe the settlement should be that, you know, in those urban centers that those lands were taken away, maybe given back so they can develop it and utilize it or whatever, commercial and or a residential space. So that has been an ongoing discussion. It hasn't gone quick enough in decisions on specific claims. The other piece to that too is additions to reserve. It's called the ATR process, so creating more reserve land so we could build more homes in First Nations communities. It's a long, drawn-out process. It needs to be more efficient. The specific claims and the ATR process needs to be more flexible, needs to be more efficient and quicker. You know, those can be part of the solutions, and that, and really that's, you know, policy and public policy that needs to change and meet the changing times. So it is, there's some places that you know, that can be resolved with policy, but it isn't quick enough. And lastly, I would say the biggest piece to it is resources, so namely funding. You know, into 2018, the provincial government, BC NDP government, brought forward $500 million for housing in British Columbia. So that was well received by many Aboriginal housing organizations here in British Columbia, including Prince George. We've seen the development near Parkwood and other areas that those funds were contributed to. We need more of that. We need more concerted effort from the federal government, which, you know, many First Nations across this country are asking for. You know, billions literally needed, billions of dollars for the housing crisis. And, you know, there's a lot of competition for these spaces, right? There's, you know, whether it's on the open market, there's a rising cost of simply buying a home in the millions of dollars in Vancouver here in Prince George is, you know, anywhere from 20% to 30% increase pre-pandemic. You know, it's like the competition's fierce and the price is even more. And then post-pandemic is the rising cost of construction, right? Anywhere from 10%, 15%, 20%. And if you couple that with, you know, some of the issues we're dealing with back in our remote communities is that the transportation costs is even more now. So First Nations is already at a deficit with inadequate funding, but then we'll have to, the price of inflation and the price of transportation and all these other increase in costs. It's very difficult to build homes in First Nations communities.
It's really something. There's challenges on multiple levels, right? As far as accelerating some of this change, what do you feel like maybe the most important piece is? Like, to me, I feel like it'd be something like public pressure, right? But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, public pressure is perhaps one motivating factor for any municipality, because we've seen homelessness in every municipality, small, medium, and large, such as downtown Eastside Vancouver. I think resources, I think, is number one. It's really, I think, do you have enough resources, money, aka money, to deal with the issues of homelessness? And we've definitely seen that on the highest level with Prime Minister Trudeau to put more funding towards, you know, homes, affordable homes in urban centers, not only for the general public, but for First Nations. We're saying the same thing. It is public policy. You know, we've seen many bylaws. In Prince George, we've seen one passed in Smithers and Campbell River Terrace, Abbotsford, that went to court, where they're displacing many homeless people, not just into First Nations, but just homeless people. And the court stated that you can't displace a person from a public space without having some place to put them, whether it's a bed at a homeless shelter or a home, so a temporary home or what have you. So it's really on multiple levels that you know, public policy has to keep up with the times and not punishing homeless people. It's not like any homeless person when they were young wanted to grow up and say, you know, I want to be homeless. I wanted, you know, I don't need help with mental health or addictions or whatever it is, whatever the case may be. That's, you know, we shouldn't be punitive on the homeless. Matter of fact, we should be more caring. We should have more empathy towards whatever issues that our homeless people are going through. It may be just monetary. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are couch surfing, that are working two jobs, but can't afford rent. It's sad to say. So, you know, regardless of whatever issues that some of our homeless people are dealing with, we have to be more empathetic and really, I think we need to come together to find solutions for our most vulnerable.
Assembly of First Nations Regional Chief Terry T.G. attended the AFN's recent Indigenous Housing Conference on Clearly Tene territory in Prince George, B.C.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program.